What's up, family? Welcome into Speak, the best hang of the day. I'm Emmanuel Acho. Y'all know the vibes. Turn the volumes up. Put your remotes down. Stay for a while. We got Dave Hellman, NFL insider, Joy Taylor, and all-decade running back. I wanted to change up the intro today.
I like that.
2-5, 2-Live, Shady, LeSean McCoy. Y'all watched the game last night. The Buffalo Bills dismantled the Tennessee Titans. And what I realized was this as I was watching the game. There is the NFC. Obviously, we know about the NFC. Historically speaking, the NFC, it has been the greater of the conferences. There's also the AFC, and we know very much so about the AFC. They're dominant this year. And then there's the Buffalo Bills. Why? Because the Bills are in a league of their own. There's the NFC, the AFC, and the Buffalo Bills because ain't nobody on their level. Week one, they smacked, and I mean smacked, the Los Angeles Rams. I was there. The Rams, as we know, Super Bowl champs. Got smacked on their home court. Then just last night, the Tennessee Titans, they were the number one seed in the AFC last year. Bills smacked them around. So now the Bills have dominated two of the best opponents in football, and it doesn't even look close. I picked the Bills to win the Super Bowl, and for the first time in my life, I actually look smart. So I got to head to the desk for this one. Joy, is anyone on the Buffalo Bills level?
Yes. I will also say I did pick the Bills to win the Super Bowl as well.
Hell yeah.
But there is still that team in Kansas City, quarterbacked by Patrick Mahomes, which the Bills have yet to unseat. Mm. So I have to keep it real. While I would like for my pick to be correct, I can't be disrespectful to the Canes, who are the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bills have to unseat them in the playoffs. The Bills have to surpass them, and they haven't done that yet. Now, we will luckily get the opportunity to see that as the Chiefs host the Bills in week six this season, and then we'll need to keep that same energy depending on how that goes, how that particular game goes. But as impressive as the Bills have been, I have to say the Chiefs have been as impressive, and we had questions about the Chiefs going into the season because, of course, Cheetah, Tyreek Hill, is now in Miami doing what Tyreek Hill did in Kansas City, and we didn't know if they were going to be able to close the gap of losing a talent like that. They look fine. And the Bills have yet to beat them. So until that happens, I can't put the Bills above the Chiefs or disrespect the Chiefs by saying they're not in the same class as the Bills.
Shady, I don't view it as disrespectful. I view it as being real. Like, when I watch these Bills, I realize it's not just who you beat, it's how you beat them.
Right.
I like the Chiefs' wins. They beat the Cardinals down. I don't think much of the Cardinals. I didn't last year. I didn't this year. I like the Chiefs' wins. They beat the Chargers, though Dave and Shady would tell me it was a maligned Chargers team. I like the Chiefs' wins, but I love the Bills' wins.
Yeah.
I love what the Bills have done, and I think styles make fights. The Bills picked up where they were weak. They said, we need a pass rusher. We're going to go get first ballot Hall of Famer Von Miller. The Chiefs said, we have a good secondary. We're going to continue to shore that up. I love the Buffalo Bills. Is anybody on their level?
I love the Bills, right? But I got to say, yes, there is. You say you like fights. Styles make fights. And in Philadelphia, Rocky Balboa is real. He's a real fighter. It's Muhammad Ali and Rocky Balboa. And I'm going to say it like this. You watched the game last night. What did my boys do? We dominated. We dominated. So I love the Bills. But if you ask me if anybody else on their level, I got to say them Eagles, the big dogs in the NFC.
So Joy kind of says you got to see it to believe it, right? But you haven't seen it from the Eagles, but you still think the Eagles can actually make noise. Does the Bills' history, does Josh Allen, who he is a quarterback, the Bills winning playoff games as of late, does that not mean more to you than what you've even seen from some of these other teams?
Well, I mean, you're talking about right now, right?
Yep.
And the team that Howie put together, he assembled together from draft picks, from getting trades, right? A.J. Brown, like, you're putting it all together, man. And now the quarterback,
Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, he's really stepping up. He's playing well. So I got to see a little bit more from him against a better opponent. But the way the offense and defense is playing together, bro, like, for example, Justin Jefferson is like a dog. He's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see Slay last night? I was surprised. When you have two elite guys, it goes, you know, I might get one on you, you might get one on me. It goes back and forth. But last night, it was all Slay, all defense, all offense. So that's another big dog. I like to see that fight. But the AFC Bills against NFC
Eagles. So you love the Eagles. Dave, is anybody on the Bills level?
You know, it's funny. Like, Joy and I have the same thought process, but we wound up with different answers. That sounds weird. I just look at it like this. It's a long season, right? The Chiefs are going to be there at the end. We feel pretty confident
about
that.
More than likely.
So we can't sit here and say, the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl. The Bills are going to just run roughshod over the league. We know that's not going to happen. We know this is the NFL. They lost to the Jags last year. Somebody's going to give them a problem. But right now, through 2 weeks, if you're just going based on what you've seen, nobody looks as good as Buffalo. Nobody. Plus 55 in point differential. You're not supposed to be able to do that in the NFL against two teams that made the playoffs last year. I don't think the Titans are very good for whatever that's worth. But to beat the defending champs down in their own house, that carries a lot of weight for me. So, again, the Chiefs will be there. That's a conversation for later in the season. But right now, nobody looks as good as the
Bills. I think about it like this, Joy. The Bills are so good that we said the Rams are sorry.
Yeah.
Like, that's how good the Bills are.
The Bills got me questioning the defending champions.
And Shady, we were there. I mean, the Bills are so good that we were like, you know what? The Rams might be terrible this year.
They did struggle with the Falcons.
They struggled by scoreboard alone.
I was saying.
By scoreboard alone. But during the course of the game, the Rams were up on the Falcons, I think, by 20 points over the course of that time. So I hear where you're saying, Joy, you need to see it to believe it. But for me, I've already seen what I need to see. The Bills lost to the Chiefs by 14 2 years ago in the playoffs. They lost to the Chiefs by 6 last year in the playoffs. We're already starting to see the trajectory of the Bills catching up to the Chiefs. I don't need to see the Bills to beat the Chiefs to know what's going to happen.
You deal with that, Joy.
I mean, as a woman, I'm uniquely designed to listen for the holes in your argument and remember them. Put them in a little filing cabinet for later. Maybe we use this now. Maybe we pull it out 6 months. Mm. It's all strategy. I'm going to pull it out now because you guys are saying a lot of things, and they're actually building the argument for the Chiefs. You mentioned what you've seen from Josh Allen winning in playoff games, and that's why you're not sure about Jalen Hurts. What did you see from Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs against the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs?
Wins. Dubs.
Mm-hmm. Wins.
A couple of them.
I seen Tyreek Hill.
I seen a
six-yard pass go for 68 yards.
That's fair.
That's gone.
But they are still 2-0 without Tyreek Hill. You're talking about the Buffalo Bills wins versus the Kansas City Chiefs wins. Well, Kansas City beat two teams that are 1-1. Who did Buffalo beat? Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. 1-2.
And the Rams.
Get a win.
Yep.
And the Rams. So by that measurement, then the Chiefs wins are more quality than the Bills' two wins.
I would say it's a lazy metric system, but sure.
I mean, are we counting numbers? Are we using numbers? Or we're not using numbers? We don't have to use numbers because then it's just really what you see. It's easy to fall in love with what the Bills are doing. They looked incredible last night, and they have looked great. I picked the Bills, so I'm not arguing against them. But the idea that we are just supposed to write off every other good team in the league because of how visually great the Bills look, I think is a little disrespectful to teams that have already beat the Bills multiple times.
But I'm not saying write the other teams off. I'm just
saying
Sharpie
the Bills in. There's nobody else on their level.
Correct.
Sharpie?
Here's why.
In the NFL.
Here's why.
Come on now.
Here is why. Anybody can win on any given Sunday. The Bills got to play the Dolphins this weekend. Sure, the Dolphins can get a win. I love the Dolphins. I ride for them just as hard, if not harder, than anybody on national television. But you can beat somebody you're not better than. You talked about that last week. My point is this. If it is the Chiefs, and I do think the Chiefs are the most competitive team in the AFC as it stands on this day for the Bills. If it is the Chiefs got worse this offseason.
That's true.
And the Bills got better this offseason. And by no small margin. Yes, the Chiefs have won the first two games.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs did not get worse by a small margin. Marquez Valdes-Scantling hasn't showed up. Juju Smith-Schuster hasn't showed up.
They haven't played yet. Oh, wait.
They played.
Oh.
You just can't check in the box score until they play.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Bills players that they acquired in the offseason have showed up in a major way. Von Miller, 2 sacks week 1 against the Rams. So when I really look at it, Joy, I'm not mad at your argument because I do think if you are the champion of the world, somebody has to come in and take it.
That's true.
The Chiefs aren't the champions of the world, but they are the champions of the AFC over the last 5 years. Somebody got to come in and take it, but the Bills already look poised to get it.
I just want to ask this. So, like, you talked about the two games, right, and better opponents. We can say that. The Chiefs had better opponents.
I wouldn't even say that.
No, I'll give her that.
But the Cardinals or the Chargers?
This is my thing real quick. Who was more dominant, though? Like, our eyes work, right? My eyes are not lying.
But if they're not as good of an opponent,
I'm just saying, y'all got to talk through this one. I just want to ask this, though. Like, it's the NFL, right? It's the elite level. I'm just saying, like, who looked more dominant?
The Bills do.
The Bills.
Yeah.
So I'm not arguing that the Bills aren't looking dominant and aren't actually dominating. They have. But we are talking about, is there anyone on their level?
Right
now,
it's
the Chiefs.
It's the Birds.
It's the Chiefs, and I will give you the Eagles as well.
I'm not ready to say that, but
you can't.
I think there is a very slim margin for great teams for this year in the NFL, and we're already seeing it. I don't think there's a ton of great teams.
I agree with that.
I would say more than two or three.
I agree with that. I'd say I'd count three or four. I'd say we know of three, and we'd probably go to four.
Who's y'all's third?
I'm putting the Dolphins in there as it stands right now. I'm putting the Dolphins in there.
Elite.
That's not bad.
I'm putting the Dolphins in there.
All right.
But here's my thought process is, like, when you talk about anybody being on the Bills' level, the Cardinals, to me, aren't that good. I think we're all on the same page. Like, the Cardinals are not that good. So, yes, the Chiefs mollywopped the Cardinals, but they're not that good. The Bills won by 21 on the road. You know what it's like because you played in Buffalo. Flying from Buffalo to Los Angeles, six-hour flight. Time change, defending champs on ring night. And you smack them? Yeah. Teams don't lose on ring night. I think it might have been like
from the first play of the game, too.
You smacked them.
Yeah.
Then you beat the Titans. Say what you want about the Tennessee Titans, but they've been to the playoffs the last several years. Derrick Henry has been a beast. They've been a 1-2-3 seed. They've been continually good, and they have a good head coach. And you smack them on prime time? Nobody has wins as good as these Bills wins. Period. That's where I'm at. That's why I'm like, the Chiefs beating the Chargers isn't as good of a win as this. Maybe if the Chargers were at full strength. But the Chiefs beating the Chargers weren't as good as a win as this.
The reason why I picked the Eagles, right, on the same level is because when I look as, like, an overall team, right, I think that the Eagles completely together is better, right? Seriously, though. I'm just saying, if you look at – hear me out for a second, right? First of all
– I can see – where's your – like, where's your jersey at? Listen, where's your, like, midnight green
jersey? When teams play the Eagles up front is scary. And the secondary is better than Philadelphia, right? You got two corners that I know right now.
Tre'Davious White's not playing yet.
He's not playing, right? He's a beast. But the two corners right now, y'all don't know their names. Nobody on America knows their names. I'll wait.
I honestly,
but you know Poyer and you know Micah, the safeties.
Here's why I can't have that conversation.
Come on.
I can't have that conversation.
You see what Slay did right now. If Diggs is your best wide receiver, Slay, go get him. Look, take the collar off. Look, go get him.
What's the equalizer?
And he's going to go get him, right?
What's the great equalizer in football?
Thank you.
The great equalizer
in football is who we're going to talk about coming up shortly. That's the quarterback position. And Jalen Hurts. Because Hurts did send a strong message yesterday.
Yes, he did.
And the Eagles did ball yesterday. Shady and I watched that joint along with Dave and Joy. We all watched it closely. But is Hurts the franchise quarterback for the Eagles, and are we sold? Speak.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Look, family, we all live two lives. Let's check in on our social life. Eagles star cornerback Darius Slay had not one, but two interceptions. And during one of the interceptions, he ran into the stands, saw James Harden, Sixer superstar, sitting there and handed him the game ball. Harden took to Twitter after and said, "Hey, first Eagles game was lit. Keep balling, bro, at Big Play Slay." 2-5, how you feel about that?
I mean,
showing love?
Yeah, that's cool. I think it's great for the fans of Philadelphia, the Sixers, the Eagles, but hopefully that will inspire him to play better, because in the playoffs, Harden was a no-show. He stunk it up.
So you saying,
and
like,
the city was not happy. So hopefully that inspired him to start playing better next season. Please.
Dang, so you don't want Slay that close to Harden because
it might rub off. I don't know. I heard he's working out. I don't know, but
that's the most Philly reaction I've ever heard in my life.
Very
it's
Philly
like this
fan
very
reaction.
Cool moment. Yeah, like, it's like, you gotta play better, bro.
Yeah,
that
like,
sucks.
Yeah, like, that's great, but like you gotta win.
Stinging that joint up. Did y'all see him play? Did y'all see the
look? If you're the all-time rushing leader in Philadelphia, you can say whatever it is that you want.
Yeah.
Let's get to the game in Philly. It's time for Rewarding Performance, brought to you by Capital One. What's in your wallet? Well, look, the Eagles rewarded the mess out of those fans. It was primetime television. Whole world was watching, and they balled. Led by quarterback Jalen Hurts, he threw for 333 yards, a touchdown, and had two touchdown rushes in the win over the Vikings. Head coach Nick Sirianni called it, quote, a big-time performance on a big-time stage. Shady McCoy, there's nobody on television more equipped to answer this question. Over, what was it, 10,000 yards with the Eagles? How many?
Something like that.
Don't act like you don't know the exact number.
Look, I'm being humble right now. Ask me the question, man.
If somebody ever has to tell you they're being humble, they're not actually being humble. Anyway, Eagles all-time rushing leader, total beast. Are you sold on
Jalen Hurts as a franchise QB.
Yes. But hold on. About 80%. I got to see a better team, right? I got to see more against a better competition.
You got to see the Eagles beat a better team.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, when I watch that game, I think he's a really good player, right? But I just see more of it to really believe it. When I watch that Vikings team, especially the defense, they stay in a soft defense the whole time, you know, like cover four. They didn't really do anything to challenge him. I want to see more, like, they pressure him because he can scramble, he can run, pressure him a little bit, see how he handles the pressure. I just got to see more. I didn't see enough, I think, from that defense.
So you are,
but he is balling, though.
He balling.
Yeah, he's balling.
You sold, but it's like you still need to see a little bit something.
Yeah, I'm the type of guy, I got to see it. You know, like, I play ball for a nice bit here, and I've seen players do good, and then so I got to see some more competition. That's it. Just a little bit more, be consistent. That's all.
Dave Hellman, you sold.
Joy, if he says he's sold, but he's got to see a little bit more.
I see this a little more.
Does that mean that he's sold? Is that?
I mean, he, like, put down a deposit.
Okay. All right. That's good. Yeah.
And, like, you know, if he backs out, they get to keep some of the deposit.
He put down
that's
escrow.
How that works.
Yeah. No, I'm not sold. No. And it's not a knock on Jalen Hurts. He played really well last night. We've seen him play those games before. Like, when everything's running for Philly the way that they want to do it, he's a very good player. He offers something in the running game. He scored 2 touchdowns last night. They were scheming up easy looks for him. I mean, like, how many of his throws last night? And that's not his fault. Take what the defense gives you, which was everything. How many of his throws were just, like, the first obvious read? It was like, oh, yep, Dallas Goedert's doing that. That's where the ball's going. And that's fine. Yeah. It's against the better defenses. When a defense is capable of taking that away, when you can't break out and run, when your first read's not there, that is what makes a good quarterback. Jalen Hurts hasn't proven he can do that on a consistent basis.
I think that's what makes a great quarterback.
Fair.
I don't think that's what makes a good quarterback.
Okay, but you got to be willing to spend big money to get even a good quarterback.
But they don't have to just yet. I am sold on Jalen Hurts, but I've also been sold on Jalen Hurts. So I bought very low on Jalen, and I feel great about it. But here's what I like about Jalen Hurts, and this is why it's kind of – I always push back to what Shady said a few weeks ago about Philadelphia. Why I really like him for Philly is he doesn't have to win pretty. And that's what Philadelphia has always been. But I like that about Jalen. He is truly a dual threat quarterback. Mm-hmm. He can kill you with his legs. Yes, is he going to take the easy stuff? As he should.
Of course.
Why should he make it more difficult upon himself? And as you said, if the Vikings are going to give away the whole middle of the field, I'm going to just keep dumping it there until you make me stop. Why wouldn't I do that? We've seen performances like this from Jalen as well. So you see progress with Jalen. You see growth with him. I don't need him to be a pocket passer right now. Would you like to see him develop into that, have that ability? Of course. But if he's young and he's athletic and he can kill you with his legs, why wouldn't he do that? Why wouldn't he take the easy things? And he wins. And he's got spirit. I know that's not an intangible. We don't like to talk about intangibles.
That matters a lot.
How you play as a team matters.
Matters.
He's a leader. He's a captain. He goes out there and wins games. I like that he is a winner. I like his attitude. I like that he put on weight. I like that they play as a team. They look good, and I have to reward a young quarterback that is doing that. By the way, he has a winning record. I know how you feel about that.
Jalen Hurts is good. He's really good.
He's good.
The reason I can say I'm not sold on him is because being sold on a quarterback in Philly means totally different things than it does anywhere else. Being sold on any player in Philly means something different. To be sold on Jalen Hurts means to believe that Jalen Hurts is your quarterback for the next 4, 5, or 6 years. Why? Because the Eagles have 2 first-round picks. Not only do they have 2 first-round picks, there are 2 studs at quarterback coming out of college at least next year.
And they got Howie.
And C.J. Stroud. I haven't gotten there yet. They have Howie Roseman, a general manager, who is always looking to replace you. Yeah. The Eagles have historically always replaced good players. There's a guy sitting next to me right now who led the league in rushing in 2013 and was not on the Eagles roster in 2015. Now, Howie Roseman is not responsible for
that,
but not at all. But it still happened under the owner's watch. So to be sold on Jalen Hurts, for me, isn't to think that he's not good. It's to say, am I ready to commit to Jalen Hurts for the next 4, 5, or 6 years? There is no fifth-year option for Jalen Hurts. There isn't that. Now, is Jalen Hurts balling? Yes. Is he winning? Absolutely. Is an Eagles former player? As an Eagles fan, do I love that? No question. But we were all watching the game together last night, and I was literally losing gears off of my life watching Ed Donatell, the defensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, sit in 2 high coverage and just let Jalen Hurts pick you apart. I love the Eagles, But what I love just as much is good defense. And I got worse as an analyst yesterday watching the Minnesota Vikings play defense. That is why I'm like, yo, I love me some Jalen Hurts. But I know I can't be sold because I know Howie isn't sold.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, he did good, and he really did great last night. Just that the more thing is you talked about the defense is, like, first of all, like the Bucs, right? Because they're not going to come down to the Vikings playing them in the playoffs.
No.
It's going to be the Bucs. And I can tell you this much, like the Bucs defense, they're not going to send the cover four and just let you throw the ball all day, right? And let you hit easy pockets. They won't do that. They're going to send heat, blitz, man coverage, bump and run. They're going to do all those type of things. So I just need to see that before I really crown him as our quarterback. Now, I like him. Don't get me wrong. I do like him. But I got to see more of that type of defense, you know, going against it and seeing how he does.
Joy, do you like him? Because really, being sold on Jalen Hurts, the whole question is irrelevant unless we get to the real meaning of the question. He's in his third year. What that means for quarterbacks in your third year, it's time to get extended. You can get extended. But remember what draft class Jalen Hurts is in. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Tua Tagovailoa, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. You feel me?
Yeah.
Are you so sold on Jalen Hurts that you might write a check to Jalen Hurts? Because there's no fifth-year option.
You're sold on Tua, aren't you?
Not like that. I'm sold on the Dolphins, but not I'm not on sold Tua. On Tua.
I think this is the season for Jalen Hurts. He's going to have to step up this season. I'm not saying there's no pressure. I'm not saying that I don't think the organization is sold him. I am. I think he's capable of doing that. They were in the playoffs last year. He can take a level up this year. You can see more from him, see young players develop. What's that saying? The man who had it good but wanted it better.
Made it worse. No question.
Don't let Philly do that now.
True.
Don't let Philly do that.
If you watch that game, not to cut you off, the playoff game with the Bucks, they were doing so much different things. I gotta see him going against that.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you. But what I'm saying with the Philadelphia Eagles is at the end of the season, if he has you competitive, if he has you winning a playoff game, you're telling me that it's a good idea for them to move off of Jalen Hurts for someone in the draft? Because remember all the conversations that we're having about the 49ers day in and day out about drafting a new quarterback.
Here's my thought, and this isn't necessarily my thought. I don't want to own it, but Howie Roseman is an evil genius.
I don't want to own it.
Emphasis on the word genius, but emphasis on the word evil. If you are Howie Roseman, understand this. You could have a cheap quarterback in Philadelphia for 8 consecutive years.
Yep.
You could have Jalen Hurts for 3 as a second-round pick. There is no fifth-year option. Then you could draft a quarterback because you have 2 first-round picks. And you could have that first-round quarterback on a rookie deal for 5 freaking years. You could be paying a quarterback no more than $25 million until checks date, 2029?
Better at math than me.
So as I look at it, Joy, like I really do like Jalen Hurts. But when I look at Jalen, I'm like, okay, big dog, have you shown me something that I'm afraid I couldn't get elsewhere? Because that's really what general managers do. It's have you shown me something that I don't think I could get elsewhere?
None better than Howie Roseman, too. I admire the hell out of the way that guy is ruthless. Like, he is always...
Well, you never had to get cut.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's...
Meanwhile, that's a y'all problem.
Hey,
I admire how Howie cut Emmanuel Ajo.
But if you're going to save money,
I'll trade your paycheck for you getting cut. Like, I'll get cut if I can make NFL money. How about that?
Practice squad.
You got me. All right, that's fair.
But you're talking about saving money like this is a bargain business at a bargain position. It's fine to do that, to save money, to move off of Jalen Hurts at the end of the year. But if you bring in a rookie quarterback and he struggles, what good is it that you're saving money?
That's a good point. But here's my point is, Jalen hasn't yet shown me so much that I don't think another dual-threat quarterback could duplicate.
Well, we haven't a whole year to talk about what Jalen's going to be now and the end of the year going into the draft are 2 different conversations. So far, he has them rolling. He looks great, and they look great. So if this continues the way it is and they bail on him at the end of the year, then they deserve whatever happens to them. I mean, we're talking about the Niners again. Trey Lance, you argue for Jimmy Garoppolo day in and day out, banging on the desk for Jimmy Garoppolo, who has an absolute ceiling, and they still moved off of him, and you didn't like that move. That could be exactly the situation that Philadelphia walks into.
Although I just want to point out, Joey, I think there's a couple key differences there. One, Trey Lance, the player. Like, how much have we talked about a guy that barely played college football who didn't start?
You never have a guarantee with a rookie.
Of course, you never do. But my argument would be, and of course they're wrong all the time, but NFL front offices think we're going to be right. Like, we're going to get the right guy.
I agree.
And when you're talking about players like Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud, a guy that's already won a Heisman, a guy that could win a Heisman this year.
And cheap. More than that, not only have they won, but they're cheap. But not even to forecast that much. I just live in the present, and I was cut by the Eagles 5 times, so I get it. You were traded by the Eagles, so you understand it. We all sit here understand the NFL. I look at the fact that the Eagles did draft Jalen Hurts when they had Carson Wentz making $130 million. They did draft Jalen Hurts when they were 9-7 and went to the playoffs with Carson Wentz.
In the second round.
Second round.
Correct. Yep. But Jalen Hurts.
They didn't use multiple picks to move up and
not at all.
Swap and
not at all.
And
but
do all that.
True. But Carson Wentz was significantly better and had done significantly more for the Eagles than Jalen Wentz had over the course of their tenures there. So all I'm saying is, if Jalen Hurts wants to really sell us, the man he's really got to sell is Eagles general manager Howie Roseman, because he's the one that's buying. Coming up, the 49ers lost their starting quarterback, Trey Lance. But is that injury actually good for head coach Kyle Shanahan? So many people talking about it, but we're going to give y'all the real real. That's next on Speak. Well, Trey Lance had successful surgery on his right ankle yesterday, but he's still out for the year. It's Jimmy Garoppolo time once again. And reports are saying, anonymous 49ers reports, and even Rams players think that the 49ers are actually better with Jimmy G and without Trey Lance. I'm not anonymous. I'm going to put an address on it, make sure it gets directly to whoever I'm sending it to,
Adam,
and make sure everybody and their mama hear it. The 49ers are better with Jimmy G, and this is good for Trey Lance. One of my favorite quotes in all, and then this is good for Kyle Shanahan. Excuse me, Trey Lance, you please feel better. One of my favorite quotes in all of quotes, it's better to be silent and be thought to be a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. From what I've heard about Trey Lance, the player, Kyle Shanahan being forced to make that decision, yo, it's better for Trey Lance to not to have played last year, and we think he's not that good, than for him to play and remove all doubt. Kyle Shanahan is saved by this unfortunate injury to Trey Lance, because now Kyle Shanahan gets to start the player, Jimmy Garoppolo, who should have been starting the whole time. We have all agreed that it's better right here and now because the 49ers are a better team with Jimmy Garoppolo starting. But more than that, Kyle Shanahan, the quickest way to lose your job isn't actually to not play Trey Lance. The quickest way to lose your job is to suck. That's the quickest way to lose your job. The quickest way to lose your job is to lose to the Chicago Bears week one of the season. The same Chicago Bears that have 70 passing yards against the Green Bay Packers. That's the quickest way to lose your job. That won't happen anymore because you have Jimmy Garoppolo starting at quarterback. I think that this unfortunate injury to Trey Lance forces Kyle Shanahan to do what he should have been doing. I think it's good for Kyle Shanahan. I'm afraid to ask you, Joy, but they pay me to. So is this Trey Lance injury good for Shanahan?
No, it's not good for Shanahan. It's not good for Shanahan because Shanahan took Trey Lance. Shanahan and John Lynch took Trey Lance. They used 3 first-round picks to bring in Trey Lance. They bailed on Jimmy Garoppolo. They told us. They told the world. They told the NFL. They told Jimmy Garoppolo, you're not good enough to be our quarterback. They didn't take a quarterback in the second round, like you mentioned in Carson Wentz in the last segment, with Jalen Hurts. They didn't take the guy that fell to them. They moved up. They mortgaged their future. First-round picks are important. It's not a small thing that they used all of that draft capital on Trey Lance. Now, I'm not a draft pick hoarder, but you got to be serious about 3 first-round picks. Let's just take a step back, really. Let's think about this with Trey Lance. Maybe we didn't give it as much drama as we should have because we've gotten so used to these players, these quarterbacks, sitting for a year. If you use 3 first-round picks on a player, you should be able to start right away. So this was a huge, like, right now, you should be able to come in and contribute.
Mm-hmm. Cosign.
Okay?
Cosign.
So we gave them a pass on that to begin with. That's pretty intense. 3 first-round picks and you can't even play this year?
You're on to something.
So really you're already on shaky ground with this choice. And Trey Lance, for that matter. All right? So we covered it up by Jimmy Garoppolo and having a nice season, so you sort of got a pass on that. Now Trey Lance has to play. Right? Because you do have to find out what he is. Now he can't. Not to mention the fact that you took this risk on a player who had played in 1 game his senior year due to COVID. So in reality, he probably should not have been drafted that high. They shouldn't have used that much capital to take him anyway. They fell in love with what Shady said, potential. Mm. But now you're not going to get to see the potential for 2 whole years in the NFL, outside of 3 games in 1 quarter, which we're essentially not going to evaluate because he's had no time to get any kind of rhythm or momentum going. and 1 year his senior year of college. So, yeah, this is a big deal, especially if Jimmy Garoppolo does what Jimmy Garoppolo always does, which is have them have a nice season and then lose in the playoffs. For certain organizations, that's good enough. It's clearly not good enough for the Niners, or you wouldn't have used 3 first-round picks to replace a guy who had you in a Super Bowl and an NFC Championship game.
I never thought of that point you made, which I think was brilliant.
Number 3
But I
overall.
Do agree that they messed this up from the beginning, but I never thought about the fact that if you use 3 first-round picks, they better start right away. What I have thought about, though, is this, Dave. Kyle Shanahan's dad, Mike Shanahan, did something similar. Used 2-3 first-round picks to draft Robert Griffin, number 2 overall. But what got him fired wasn't Robert Griffin getting hurt. What got him fired wasn't Robert Griffin struggling because he got hurt. What got him fired was sucking. Their record sucking. That's what got him fired. Where do you stand on the Trey Lance injury? Is it actually good for Shanahan?
I don't like to betray Joy like this. I like agreeing with Joy. In the short term, right now, 2022, heading into week 3, is good for Kyle Shanahan. It is, because you remove the variable, the unknown. You are back to the team that we know, basically. I mean, all of the key players from the last couple years are there now. And guess what? When Jimmy Garoppolo, the playoffs, I get it. That's fine. When Jimmy Garoppolo has started for the Niners, they're 31-14.
Yeah, he wins games.
He knows how to create a game plan for this guy. He knows how to succeed. The NFC West looks winnable. They made a playoff run last year. Right now, and you know, Trey Lance, we're all hoping for the best for him. But what's the reality? Y'all know, in the NFL, when you get hurt, you disappear. Trey Lance is going to be watching games in street clothes now. So, like, that aspect of it is gone. The uncertainty, the drama gets shelved until later. So right now, it is good for Kyle Shanahan because this is a team that can contend.
Shady, where you at on that?
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say no. It's not good for Shanahan because my thing is, like she talked about, you got all these draft picks, right, for this player. So, obviously, you knew something that we didn't know. You thought that he could play. And the sad part is that we can't really see it. He gets hurt. With these young quarterbacks, it takes time, bro. You don't just become a good player right away. Even myself, I was a good player. But I wasn't right away great. No. Let's go to the big board. I'll be right back, man. Let's go to the big board.
Do I need to come or you got it by yourself?
You come if you want to. Now, check it out. Now, I played with this guy. His name is Josh Allen. He's the truth. When I seen him play, I said, well, this guy has a lot of talent. Big, strong arm, tough, 6'5", be a big boy. But Josh was not that good as a rookie. Mm-hmm. As you can see, actually, Trey Lance really has a little bit better numbers if you really look at it. So my thing is this, like, let's take our time with these rookies. If you look at Josh, he was throwing picks. Look, 2 passes, 2 touchdowns with 4 picks. Like, he wasn't Josh Allen we see today. Year 2, he got better. Year 3,
sure.
He is who he
sure.
is. Year 4, you see what I'm saying?
I feel
so
you.
Give these guys some time.
But I got to ask you this. It's a couple things. Number 1, the expectations for Josh Allen weren't the same as Trey Lance. That's a statement. Here's the question. The question is this. Trey Lance sat for a year. This is now year 2 for Trey Lance. It was year 2 for Trey Lance. Josh Allen didn't sit for a year. He sat for 5 games behind Nathan Peterman, I believe.
He sat a little bit,
These stats, in theory, are skewed because this man, though he wasn't playing, he was still in the NFL under the system for 17 months. But this man was under the system for maybe 17 weeks. I do not think it's a fair comparison.
So when you get drafted, right, especially when you get 3 first-rounders up, that's called potential. And they both come from small colleges. So, I mean, first of all, Josh went to Wyoming, right? What did they teach you at Wyoming? Okay, you get in an NFL program, right? You're lifting, eating, all that type of stuff. And then you're in a classroom, you're learning. Same thing with him. He's a small college guy, bro. It takes time.
But don't you think...
It takes time.
Because this is one of my biggest errors I think so many teams make. They try to chase a high. Everybody tried to chase Patrick Mahomes. Trying to chase Patrick Mahomes made the Packers draft Jordan Love. Trying to chase Michael Vick has caused so many teams to draft the Houston Texans to draft Braxton Miller.
You're wrong.
Trying to chase a high causes teams to make mistakes. Why am I wrong?
Because in football, it's a copycat league.
Of course, that's my point.
So that's what you mean? That's what makes everybody good. Oh, they did this good. We're going to do this next.
Only if you can successfully copy.
I mean, that's what happens.
How many attempts at LeSean McCoy are there in the NFL right now?
Listen, I mean, it's only one of me, baby. It's only one of me. But anyway, to win this argument, like I said, it takes time as the results, as the numbers say. It's called potential. We never know what he can be. We don't know.
We know
what Jimmy G can be. We know what he is.
We will see. We will see.
Jordan, Trey, get better, baby. Get better, brother.
How do you respond to that?
Well, also another argument that people would put up against these numbers is that Lance is playing with better players than Josh Allen was playing with. My rebuttal to that would be, so then Josh Allen can only be good because of the players that are around him now. can't have it both ways. You're arguing against yourself in that space. We know that Josh Allen developed into what he is right now because they were patient, he had the right coaching, and they gave him time, like Shady said. Trey Lance has not had that opportunity, but that's also not Trey Lance's fault. Trey Lance didn't ask to sit last year. That was the Niners' choice to do that. That's why I always argue for young players to play right away. But so you not only get the opportunity.
Josh only played because somebody got hurt, too. Let's talk about that. Because he didn't play the starter. No.
Bro, Peterman had a five interception.
Hold on. He competed.
Five interceptions.
The training camp.
That's why Josh Allen started.
I'm going to tell you the truth.
Five interceptions.
I'm going to tell you the truth, bro. This is the truth.
Five interceptions.
But see, and that's where I was going to go on the flip side of that. Like, Joy is right in the big picture. And you talk about
does
time.
Does she pay you to say that?
No. It's
brilliance can see brilliance.
I appreciate that. There's more to it than just the immediacy of the next game. Yeah, like, the Niners are a better team right now. It does not erase what they've done. And guess what? Kyle Shanahan has a ton of sweat. Like, he's not the coach that's just getting the players from the front office. He is involved with John Lynch. And they are going to have to own this decision if he doesn't pan out.
But here's my question for both of y'all. You can hide behind a bad draft pick if you still win. Matt LaFleur, Brian Gutekunst.
Not like this.
Of course, there's never going to be a pure apples-to-apples situation. But you can hide behind a bad pick if you win. The Eagles still won a Super Bowl. They paid Carson Wentz a boatload of money, and he didn't pan out. But at the end of the day, Howie Roseman is still there.
I'm not saying
so you can hide behind
it
if you still win.
I'm not saying this is going to lead to them being fired. But to Dave's point, you have to own three first-round picks on a player that doesn't pan out. We don't know that Trey Lance will or he won't. But what we do know is what Jimmy Garoppolo is. We have seen it. We know that it wasn't enough for the Niners, or Trey Lance wouldn't have been there. And we know at the end of this year, they're going to be in the same situation that they were at the beginning of this year, which is, what do we do with Jimmy Garoppolo, and what is Trey Lance going to be? And Trey Lance will be looming over the season next year unless Jimmy Garoppolo wins a Super Bowl.
They better win a Super Bowl, man. That's the only thing that makes this feel or look better in the long run.
Let me finally quickly pose this to y'all. It's this. Now that we'll be 3 years removed from the drafting of Trey Lance, I think that the potency of the potential error of that pick will have subsided. Like, I think that we won't be looking at it as that big an error 3 years removed. As opposed to this year, it's like, yo, you used three first-round picks on him last year. By the time we hit next season, we're 24 months from Trey Lance being drafted, 30 months from it. I just don't know that it still stings as much. Why do I say this? Again, not apples to apples. But I'm looking at, like, we're not like, man, Howie Roseman really messed up that Jalen Reagor first-round pick. We're just going,
this is a quarterback. This is your franchise quarterback.
Did you hear the boos in Philly last night?
And here's the problem.
They were booing him.
Here's the problem.
Not Howie.
At the end of this year, if they don't win a Super Bowl, okay, what do you do with Jimmy Garoppolo? And Trey Lance wouldn't have played football for 3 years, and you still have to find out what you have with him because you used three first-round picks on him. You still don't have a quarterback. If they don't win a Super Bowl, you still don't have a quarterback, and Trey Lance has played in four games. Four games and one quarter in the last 3.5 years.
That, to me, is such an unfair or irrationally high bar. If you don't win a Super Bowl, you don't have a quarterback? So 31 teams, you would say?
They bailed on Jimmy Garoppolo. They tried to trade him.
The Packers
did the same thing
to Aaron Rodgers.
Please don't put Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo in the same sentence. Please.
I'm not. I'm putting the draft picks in the same sentence.
No, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
Aaron Rodgers is back-to-back MVP.
Now he is. He wasn't when they were drafted.
But
also, Aaron Rodgers was under contract. Jimmy G is done after this year. If they don't win the Super Bowl, they don't know what they're doing with Jimmy G, and they don't know if Trey Lance is a good quarterback.
Correct. They are in the exact same position they were in at the beginning of this
year. That's the situation. Even if they win a Super Bowl, they'll just feel a lot better about it if they do.
So, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, Niners, you got a lot to unravel, and I guess we do too. Coming up, you all heard of Game of Thrones. Well, it's time for the House of Lombardi. Find out which team is leading the pack in our own NFL rankings. Next on Speed. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back, y'all. Now, the Game of Thrones prequel, House of the Dragon, it's hot right now. But what about House of Lombardi? Vince Lombardi, we all know he's the standard in the NFL. So, each week, we're picking our best team in the league. It's currently week two, so we're picking our best teams from week two. I'll get us started off right now. To me, nobody is touching the Buffalo Bills because of how dominant they look. So I am putting them atop my throne, if you will. Joy, what say you?
Tua, it's Tua time. Tua, man. Son of Marino, killer of Ravens, is on top of the throne.
She came prepared.
This week.
Yes. I love this.
Yeah, Tua and the Dolphins are on the throne this week.
I second that. Which I'm sorry if that's repetitive. You know how Game of Thrones, like, the thing that makes it so great is, like, you'll have a character come out of nowhere and have a great episode. Like, yeah. Oh, damn, like, I loved them way more than I thought I did.
Exactly.
That's how I feel about the Dolphins right now.
Lots of characters.
Tua had his best game. Mike McDaniel's hilarious. Like, yeah, they are the most interesting team in the league this week.
I'm going to go five with five, baby. Philadelphia Eagles.
Shocking.
I'm gonna go on. This is the thing, though. So the Targaryens is the biggest thing, right? And Game of Thrones. And I think of the dragons and the small bird, eagles.
Oh, there you go.
Come on now.
I really got to watch the Game of Thrones. Anyway, we told you which teams are hottest right now. You can find out where your team stacks up. Dave Hellman, he went through and did a power rankings of the NFL earlier today. It's posted on FoxSports.com. Make sure you check that out. Phenomenally well written and a lot of valuable insight.
I'll slip
there.
You a five after the show. Appreciate it.
All right, let's move on to the other great individual performance last night. Josh Allen, yo. Beast. He helped the Buffalo Bills blow out the Tennessee Titans 34 points. Allen shredded Tennessee's defense, 317 passing yards, 4 touchdown passes. Along with that, 3 touchdown passes to his top target, Diggs. As I was watching the game, I concluded one thing very simply. Josh Allen is clearly the best quarterback in football. Josh Allen is a top 3 runner at the position, probably Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, and Josh Allen is a top 3 passer at the position, and I will not get into that order because he might be number 1. There is not another quarterback right now on the level of Josh Allen. There's not another quarterback right now that puts the type of fear in your eyes that Josh Allen does. There's not another quarterback right now that is as difficult to game plan as Josh Allen is. When you talk about a quarterback, you too have to talk about his weapons. And Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have the greatest wide receiver quarterback combination currently in existence in today's game. So there isn't another quarterback that I see at this on Josh Allen's level, but joy is Josh Allen clearly the best QB in ball.
No, you just didn't change the question now. Because we're not talking about wide receivers and weapons and who's alongside. We're talking about quarterbacks only. So we're going to leave the Stephon Diggs thing out. We got to recap for this segment. No, Josh Allen is not clearly the best quarterback in football. And I picked Josh Allen to win the MVP this year. I think Josh Allen is elite. I think he is great. I think he's going to have an unbelievable career. And he is great right now. But we have measurements in sports. Wins, losses, playoff wins, MVPs. Super Bowls. This isn't a beauty pageant. If we're measuring off who looks the best right now, sure. I'm not going to argue that your girl looks better than my girl. It's a matter of preference. All right? They all look good. And you like this one more than that one, but they all look good. That's not how this works. Patrick Mahomes is a league MVP. He has a Super Bowl. He was just in the AFC Championship game. He has beaten Josh Allen in 2 playoff games.
Right.
Do any of these measurements count? Aaron Rodgers has back-to-back league MVPs. The league MVP means you are the best player in the league. He plays the quarterback position. Now, you can talk about or think about his weapons and be nervous about it, but for the last 2 years where Josh Allen was in the league and what we all agreed was good, Aaron Rodgers was better. For 2 years in a row, he was the best in the league at his position, which Josh Allen plays. Tom Brady is the greatest to have ever played the position. He is 2-0 right now. There are measurements that we have to consider when we're talking about who is the best. Does he look the best? He looks incredible. But there are standards. There are rings. There are MVPs. There are wins and losses. There are playoff wins and losses that I have to consider when I just crown who the best quarterback in the league is.
Here's my problem, though. I don't like to use historical measurements to talk about the present. Right? I don't want to talk about Tom Brady's 7 rings to talk about how well Josh Allen
is. You don't have to do that. Some of Tom Brady's accomplishments are ancient history. Patrick Mahomes is still doing all of this.
Yes.
Like, this was last year that he made his 4th appearance in the AFC Championship game. Of course, he hasn't won them all. I get that. But since he took over, so he's won an MVP. He started starting in 2018, right? I have that right? So since he's been a starting quarterback, it's unbelievable to talk about, really. An MVP, a Super Bowl championship, another Super Bowl, and they've been the top dog in the AFC. The AFC Championship game has been played in Kansas City every year. Not just been in the game, but the game's been in Kansas City every year since he was the starting quarterback. I believe I have that right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not come get some, Josh Allen. And that's not a knock on him. He's absolutely incredible. He's on that short list. But you gotta do something about Patrick Mahomes.
You played with both of them. You played with Patrick Mahomes, won a Super Bowl with him. You played with Josh Allen when Josh Allen was drafted in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Two great quarterbacks. Is Allen clearly the best in the league right now?
So we're talking about right now. And I think legacy is a big part of it. So I think legacy-wise, I think Pat is and Tom.
Talking about Patrick Mahomes' legacy. The man is like 26 years old. I just want to throw that out there.
I'm saying, legacy, talk about from when he started, Super Bowl and et cetera, MVPs. I give him that. And we talking about right now, I got to go with Josh Allen. The kid can run the ball like any of the top runners as quarterbacks, dual threat quarterbacks. He can throw the ball better than almost everybody in the league, top three, right? He doesn't have a superstar offensive roster, right? Diggs is good. He's a top guy, but that's really it, okay? And then, he doesn't have no, Hall of Fame superstar coach, offensive guru. His head coach is Sean McDermott. He's a defensive guy. He has a first-year offensive coordinator in Dorsey. So it's like, I'm going with Josh Allen. When I turn that tape on, and I'm talking about today, right? That's the great thing about this sport of football. I love it. 1 year, Adrian Peterson was the man. All right, boys, Adrian Peterson. The next year, I took over that. It's my crown. This is my league. Every year, it flip-flops. So we're talking about right now, I got to go with Josh for them things and the reasons why.
I'm with you. I mean, I hear the history of it all, and Joy, I can't wait for you to rebuttal, but I look at Tom Brady, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception on the season. He had 219 passing yards, I believe, this past Sunday, and a high 100 passing yards week 1. Tom Brady right now isn't in that conversation. LeBron James, to me, may be the greatest basketball player ever, but right now he's not the best. So I'm looking at right now. I hear you on Patrick Mahomes. I will engage in that conversation, but the only
I'll allow it.
Here's why.
I'll allow that. Patrick Mahomes could be better.
Here's why, because Patrick Mahomes' weapons are what made Patrick Mahomes Patrick Mahomes.
So my God,
I can't say that. Pat's a dog. Pat's a beast. I can't say that. Now you say it like this. I got you. Patrick Mahomes and his weapons made him better.
Yeah.
But he still was
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, but the way you said it was kind of like,
it was very dismissive.
Pat was still the man.
Of course.
Okay, all right.
But Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce.
Oh, they made him like,
Why y'all act like that was crazy? Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce made Patrick Mahomes.
It was.
No. Patrick Mahomes, you can't say that.
Made Patrick Mahomes Patrick Mahomes.
Pat is carrying that team right now, and they're not the same. So my thing is this.
Joy.
Patrick Mahomes is a great player, and then you add on Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. They made him even better.
We never saw Patrick Mahomes
and Andy Reid
and Travis Kelce.
Well, I told you they don't look the same offense-wise.
We've seen it through 2 weeks
but don't
so
say
far,
they
and it
Patrick
doesn't look
Mahomes.
Bad.
That was crazy. Pat gives out crazy work. I love Pat. Don't do that, okay?
Without Tyreek Hill, Patrick
Why
Mahomes don't have a Super
like
Bowl.
Josh Allen is playing with some scrubs right now anyway.
Who's he playing with?
Stephon Diggs is one of the top receivers in the league.
One. Keep going.
Okay.
I mean, that's Patrick. A nice place to start.
Pat, listen, real quick. You got
it. Don't go make the point that I was just making.
No. Pass the man.
Andy
Reid is the real ace of the hole.
I don't even want to talk about the weapons because
it's different.
You have to, though.
No, you don't.
The only way you can assess the quarterback is by assessing weapons.
Tom Brady has been great for decades, and he did not always have top receivers. Aaron Rodgers has been great for decades and has not always had top receivers.
Aaron Rodgers has always had top receivers.
Not always.
What? Come on, stop.
Greg Jennings in the Ring of Honor. Davante Adams, top. Greg Jennings wasn't great.
I apologize.
Greg
Jennings was never a top.
He's in the Packers.
That's not true.
He was never a top.
Okay. Look, right. Greg is our teammate. We're not arguing against Greg.
Yeah, how am I throwing strays at Greg Jennings? That wasn't the point.
Let's just move on from that.
You got a point. Aaron Rodgers has some players, though. Don't do that.
You have to have players. Is Josh Allen who he is right now without Stephon Diggs? No, they got Stephon Diggs to help elevate Josh Allen so he has someone to throw to. It is a dependent position. We are talking about the quarterback position right now. Right now.
Right now.
We are 2 weeks in. 2 weeks in. You're talking about history. Patrick Mahomes beat Josh Allen last year in the playoffs. Playing the AFC Championship game.
We're talking about right now.
They beat a division opponent and a Cardinals team that just won yesterday.
But who, if you want to go back to that AFC Championship game, who played better?
Oh, right.
Oh, my God.
That counts, though. Josh ain't out here kicking balls and tackling nobody. If you watch that game.
Medic.
See, y'all don't want to
realize.
He threw, look, the truth is, he threw a 6-yard pass. Catch it. Come on.
Please help.
You go 60-something yards. Come on. Let's go.
My man
was killing them dudes.
My man got them into field goal position in 13 seconds.
Y'all don't want the real facts, and I see that.
Guys,
Pat is a dog. So I agree with you. Pat is nice, but you got to give Josh his credit.
We're not giving Josh his credit.
I'm saying
we are giving Josh plenty of credit.
So let me ask you this.
The question was whether or not he's clearly the best quarterback in the league.
If Josh Allen played for the Chiefs with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and Andy Reid, do you think they win a championship?
That's all you gotta say.
How are you walking away like this?
I'm just asking a question, though. I just want to ask you a question, though.
That's all you gotta say.
They're not answering the question.
You know what? I hope for both y'all's sake, Patrick Mahomes is not watching this.
Oh, they're not. Pat.
You realize
that's nice.
He's nice.
That's nice.
Patrick Mahomes is nice.
Pass the dude. He's that guy.
To say that Patrick Mahomes is not better than Josh Allen right now.
Today,
I
don't know, man.
You're talking about ancient history. Oh, Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs at the position that Josh Allen plays last year. We are 2 weeks into the season.
I won't get that question answered.
This is not ancient history.
Right, well, I guess
what was the question?
If Josh Allen plays for the Chiefs with Andy Reid, Travis Kelce.
We're not arguing teams. Hey, how can Mahomes be this good with the Bills?
No.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. Philly was rocking last night. Jalen Hurts' squad is undefeated.
Wild.
It's also Shady Squad. I was there, too, for a little bit, but I didn't get paid nearly as much. Okay, we got to ask, are the Eagles clearly the best in the NFC?
That's a real question. That's not a real question. But real quick, Josh runs the ball like a
running
back. I'm just telling you.
How about the Birds, 2-5? Jalen Hurts took care of business against the Vikings last night. 333 passing yards, a passing touchdown, 2 touchdowns rushing, and the Eagles are one of 3 teams in the NFC that are still undefeated. So 2-5, you always live. Let me come to you first. Are the Eagles clearly the best team in the NFC?
Yes, they are. I think the Eagles are the best in the NFC. It's close with the Bucs, but right now I think the Eagles are playing better together on defense, on offense. They look good. Y'all watched last night. Y'all eyes work. My eyes work. They was balling. Jalen Hurts was balling out, running it, throwing it. A.J. Brown, I could name a few. But I got to give a lot of love and shout out to Darius Slay. He was locking things up. Like, I don't know if Justin Jefferson ever been in jail, but that's the closest thing to being in prison. So, a lot of love, bro. A lot of love.
Somebody in that locker room said Slay put Jefferson in a car seat last night.
Hey, can you do this real quick?
No, I'm not doing that.
Fly, baby, fly.
Jory, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC.
All right, now I hope y'all are going to keep it real because we're going to test and see, America, how real he keeps it. Because we all watched the game last night, sitting on the couch, freezing, blankets up to our chin. And I said out loud, Eagles are the best team in the NFC. What'd you say?
I'd probably say yeah.
I knew they was going to start lying.
I said yeah.
Did they agree? No, you didn't. Did they agree?
Who did I say?
Okay, y'all can think about it for a little while.
Acho definitely didn't agree. Acho definitely didn't agree.
That's okay. That's okay, and you didn't agree with me either. I just want the facts out there that I said it first.
I tweeted that.
And it took a look. Joy is correct here.
Joy is giving the truth.
Y'all not just going to steal my take.
No.
It's okay.
Joy said it first.
Y'all just needed to think about it a little longer.
She said the Eagles are the best team in the NFC before me.
I did.
Okay, America, if you believe that, America.
Right. See what I'm saying? Lies.
Shady wasn't even fully buying Jalen Hurts an hour ago. That's all I'm saying.
It's all right. I'll forgive you. It's just sometimes it takes a little longer to get to the truth. And yes, the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. Obviously, the Bucs close behind. Now, I also would like to point out, I'm not unaware that they are only 2-0 teams in the NFC besides the Giants, who we are still questioning a little bit.
Not sure
so this is
that.
Not a crazy hot take. But I do think the Eagles look great. I love the Eagles. I picked them to win the division at the beginning of the season. Like I said, I loved what Sirianni, who I had huge doubts about, has done with them. I'm loving Jalen Hurts. Love the way their defense plays. They were dominant. I think they are the team to beat in the NFC.
I will meet you halfway, Philly guys. The Eagles.
And truth teller.
You're right, Joy. You're right. They look the best through 2 games in the NFC. They look the best.
Is that, okay. is that the question? Would they look no, the best?
The Tampa the Bay Wait, Buccaneers the are the best team in the NFC.
I knew it.
And look, it's hard to say. Again, have the Bucs looked like world beaters? No. Their offensive line is beat to hell right now. They had the backup to their backup left tackle go out during that game against the Saints. It looks rough. I mean, they had 3 points halfway through the fourth quarter of that game. Their defense carried them. But that's the beauty of it when you talk about the Eagles. All I can think about when I think about this conversation is the score at the start of the fourth quarter of that playoff game last year. Todd Bowles and those guys in Tampa had Jalen Hurts in a blender. It was 31-0. Guess what? That's the same defense. They look nasty, man.
Look good.
Look, we can talk trash about the Cowboys all we want, but that's a good quarterback in Dak Prescott that they held to what? How many points, Shady?
Three.
3 points. Yeah. They've given up one touchdown on the year. That is exactly what I'm talking about. When I say I need to see more from Jalen Hurts, beat a defense like that, like what Todd Bowles has in Tampa, and I will be much more convinced.
It's interesting. I'm not – Dave, you called me out. You called me out because when I put out my tweet, Joy, when I put out my tweet – I did say the Eagles are the best team in the NFC. But truth be told, look should have been in parentheses. Because I rewatched the Bucs game this morning on the stair stepper. That's when I do my best film review. I rewatched the Bucs game this morning on the stepper. And if the Bucs were to play the Eagles right here, right now, in my mind, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would win. But here's the beauty of it. The Eagles don't have to play the Buccaneers in the regular season, nor do they really have to play anybody else difficult for that matter, because the NFC East is terrible, and the Eagles got to play the AFC South, which is also terrible. So the Eagles will likely look the best, thus be the best, for the entirety of the season as it pertains to the NFC. Who's the Eagles' toughest opponent? The Packers on November 27th? Then after that, who do you got? Who are you afraid of? If I'm an Eagles fan,
it's not a problem.
I ain't afraid of nobody.
That's right.
That is a nice-looking schedule right there.
It looks good today. It definitely does.
As long as I look the best, I have a competent argument that I am, in fact, the best, Dave. So I'm with you that the Eagles look the best, but until they got to play the Bucs, I think it's fair that we also say they are the best.
And can we talk about this? Like, they look good right now. They're still young, right? And they're still getting new.
What you mean by that?
Hold on.
What you mean by that?
Quick. When I say young, I mean fresh. For example, like, right. We just got A.J. Brown, okay? He's new. He's new to the party. Our rookies we got, Jordan Davis. Mm-hmm. New, young.
Not getting a lot of burn.
We got Bradbury. We just got him. He's an older vet, but
correct.
He's new,
they're
to,
new
the
to the
team.
Team.
So now, I'll give you an example. When I was with the Bucs, right, when we got Tom Brady, okay, we were a good team, but we got better once we started gelling. The more times, the more plays in the film room. Now I know what type of pass that Jalen Hurts is going to throw me when it's cover two or cover three. All that stuff matters in football. So I'll say this. We get more experience time together. So if we look good right now in week two, and we're still new, we're still fresh, we're still young, what you think in week nine going to look like?
But if the Eagles...
It's going to be Eagles flying everywhere.
But I hate to say it. That's a pretty good point.
Am I right?
I hate to say it.
Oh, wait. Hold, Dallas got to sell them rights.
No, look, tell America.
I've been saying this all offseason. If Jalen Hurts can play well, the Eagles should be considered a Super Bowl contender. That's why there's so much pressure on him.
And he is playing well.
He's playing well so far.
So the Eagles have to be considered a Super Bowl contender based on your mathematical equation.
Right, right.
It's week two, but sure. Yeah,
but sure.
Well, it's week three now. But
come on, that's what we do. That's what we do in Philadelphia.
Look,
we win games, baby.
If they keep playing like this, they should win the East.
Or did you win 12 or 13 games?
I don't ever want to say easily. It's never, like, every year we do this where, like, in September or October, it's like, they can lock the division up by Thanksgiving. And it never happens that way. But they look like the team to beat in the division, which was the green spot.
You would never see a 25 jersey on that field again. Have you seen one since I left? Have you seen one? Have you seen one? You haven't seen one. Fly was fly, baby.
Did you get it unofficially retired?
Nah, man, you know, we working on that. But you ain't gonna see 25 on the field.
So you gotta deal with the equipment, guys, is what I'm hearing.
Nah, I mean,
moving on, coming up, we gotta talk about Tom Brady. That's the Bucs quarterback who we think might be on the same level as the Eagles. However, the Bucs have been struggling even though they're 2-0. I'm concerned about the offense. They got question marks, but are we worried about Tampa? That's next. Yo, it's time to check back in on our social life. The Eagles defense, they forced 3 interceptions by Kirk Cousins last night. And shout out to the Eagles Twitter account tweeting, you like that? You like that? That's cold-blooded, man. First off, Kirk did that a while ago. Isn't that, George, is that not played out?
Petty's
never played out.
I love it.
More pettiness in social media, honestly, because I feel like people are afraid of catching L's and then they don't want to get made fun of. Just embrace it.
Embrace it.
Your day will come. Just be petty.
He had an Eagle jersey on last night, man. He know what he did. Come on.
Oh, you talking about Dave?
Do you like that? No, I'm talking about Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, Kirk might have stock invested in the Eagles, dude. That was wild.
Or money on the under.
Anyway, let's transition to the actual games that took place this past Sunday, because the Bucs, they are 2-0 following their win over division rival Saints. Mike Evans, we all saw it. He got suspended for what I would call a cheap shot. We won't get into that right now, though, y'all. Anyway, the Bucs don't look that good with Tom Brady. So now it has me thinking just how worried I am about the offense. I'm incredibly worried about this Buccaneers offense, but Dave, are you?
Not in the long term, no. And like they don't look good, obviously. They've struggled to get in the end zone. But I think, like, when you examine the reasons why, that alleviates my concern. Again, this offensive line is a mash unit. Like, Donovan Smith went out in the opener. Mm-hmm. They lose the backup to Donovan Smith. They're working guys out right now. Chris Godwin gets hurt in the opener. Julio Jones wasn't able to play week two against the Saints. And now Mike Evans is suspended. Like, they're, I mean, who's going to, not even Tom Brady's going to succeed with this many people missing. So, yes, it's a problem. But a lot of this can be sorted out over the next 3, 4, 5 weeks. They'll be fine in time. I trust Tom Brady.
I disagree. And I'm worried about the Bucs because I think the Bucs are worried about the Bucs because they've told us they're worried about the Bucs because they went and signed Cole Beasley, or the practice squad receiver, who nobody else has decided to sign, even though I think Cole Beasley can still get busy. I think the Bucs are worried about the Bucs. Their offensive line is maligned, but they've been maligned. They lost guys during training camp who they're not getting back. When you rewatch the Bucs game, it's like, man, the Saints were strapping those dudes up. Saints have a really good defense. I'll give them that. Cowboys have a really good defense. I'll give them that. But by the time you play good teams, most good teams have good defenses. So it's not just how do you play against the bottom of the barrel. How do you play against really, 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 really good teams? And when I look at the Bucs, they just don't scare me like they used to when they had Gronk. When they had AB, because this is the exact same Bucs offensive receiving position, minus two Hall of Fame talents in Gronk and AB. That's why I'm worried. And then I look at the running back position. I know Leonard Fournette's your dog, but Fournette just don't scare me. Like, he's not going to hit the home run. He'll hit you for 4 or 5 yards, but he's not going to hit the home run. You're giving me a look, Dave.
He had a home run against the Cowboys in week one. He didn't go to the house, but he had a 40-yard run. No, Fournette's fine. And on top of that, I love the Cole Beasley signing, honestly. One thing I love about the Bucs is that they're a 5 or 6 that knows they landed a 10. And they're just like, Tom, whatever's going to make you happy, we will do it. Cole Beasley, what's his specialty? Getting open, getting separation within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Tom Brady walked into that front office and said, I need a guy who can get open quick because this line's not going to keep me on my feet very long. And they're like, Tom, whatever you want. We got you, bro. I think it's going to be fine in the long run. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Tom Brady's offense because it's Tom Brady. They smoked the Cowboys.
They did.
Easily.
Okay. And who you want me to think is, like, good now, right? They're like, rolling with Cooper Rush. That's a thing here, right? That's what I'm supposed to believe. And they always struggle with the Saints. We talked about it. They always struggle with the Saints. And they were still able to beat the Saints. No, I'm not worried about Tom Brady's offense. If there's an individual who plays football in the NFL that I don't worry about getting it together as the season goes on, it's Tom Brady.
I want to rock with you, but 19 points and 20 points, it's just not impressive. That's where I'm like how long do you give Tom Brady? Not how long do you give Tom Brady a pass because he's Tom Brady, but we've seen the parallel
forever.
In basketball. Like, I'm still worried about LeBron James, and he's LeBron James. So I'm like, I don't just forego worries because of what somebody's done. 2-5, you played with Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean,
forever grateful. Talk to us.
And I get what you're saying about even at the LeBron James thing, but the difference is Tom Brady is still winning. Like, let's not forget, they're 2-0. They're winning right now. So you talk about, like you're worried. I don't see how. I never worry about Tom Brady. He's going to win a game with whoever's out there. Like last game, right? Godwin was not playing. Julio's not playing. Mike Evans is not playing. They still win. They always struggle with the Saints.
But we had this conversation prior. Are the Bucs winning right now because of Tom Brady and that offense? You know that's not the case.
But this is the thing. It doesn't matter, right?
They need to.
The thing is, long as you're winning, this is the NFL, bro. Long as you're winning.
But the question is, are we worried about Brady's offense?
But what I'm saying is, going forward, right, they get guys healthy, and Cole Beasley's coming there. The last time he had a guy like Cole Beasley is what, Julian Edelman? He's not a Hall of Famer or anything like that, but he's a solid player, right?
I like how you slid that in there.
No.
But you don't got to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a good player. No, Julian's a heck of a player. Plays hard, and he has that same, like game. The same way that Cole Beasley has. So we can't worry about Tom Brady. He's going to win games. And then Fournette, hold on. You don't have to be no, because I hate when people say that. Oh, he's not a home run hitter. So what? He's going to pound you and pound you and pound you the whole game. That's what Tom Brady likes.
I feel you, but to me, the biggest worries on defense are guys that can hit the X plays. When I watched the Miami Dolphins this past Sunday and the fact that they could score 28 points, could come back from a 28 deficit, the fact that they could score 28 points in the fourth quarter, as a defender, that's just what scares me. You can pound me and pound me and pound me all you want. Good luck to you. But I'm more worried about the X play. But I know somebody you are worried about, Justin Fields. Because Justin Fields and the Bears, they are struggling right now. They had an ugly loss to the Packers. Justin Fields, he threw for only 70 yards, and 30 of those yards came on a flea flicker. It was bad all the way around. But the real question now is it on the Bears or is it on Justin Fields? Shady, who do you blame for the struggle?
It's not even close. The guy had 70 passing yards, no touchdowns throwing, and then an interception. That's trash. That's bad, 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 bad football. Like, and I seen some things he was talking about the fans. Like, my man, the fans are probably talking about you. Like, what are we going to do? I'm scared that this year, if he don't get it together, which he probably won't, they'd be drafting a new quarterback. Mm. If you watch, I'm always about, like, I'm big on watching the tape, right? Let my eyes tell me what's going on. My eyes never lie to me, right? See a girl walking past, ooh, she might look good, right? And your eyes tell you what it is. When I watch him play, he does not look good. Throwing the ball everywhere, scrambling out the pocket. Like, it looks bad, bad, bad football, man.
That's the thing, though, man. He wasn't throwing the ball everywhere. You know how many attempts Justin Fields had in the second half?
Thank you.
He had four.
Thank you.
He had four.
You don't want him throwing the ball. They trying to tell you
yes,
something.
Yes, I do.
We don't want you throwing the ball.
I need to see him throw the ball.
Yes, you do.
Okay, well.
I'm with you, Dave.
I'm telling you.
By all means, go. Like, I don't understand it. Four attempts in the second half. By the way, it goes back to the offseason as well. They haven't put anybody around this guy that can help him elevate his play.
That's sad.
He's playing this game with Equanimeous St. Brown. Darnell Mooney's a nice player. And then Dante Pettis, talking about guys that have been in the league for 3-4 years who have less than 100 career catches. Wow. I just don't know what you want a young quarterback to do. And then again, they were down 17 points at halftime. They threw the ball four times.
Yeah.
So either the Bears absolutely have no faith in the guy that they traded to get in the first round, or they have no desire to see what he can do. I think it's very weird. I put it way more on the Bears than I do on
100%.
Justin Fields.
I'm not going to sit here and act like I didn't watch what the Bears have done year after year after year, especially with quarterbacks. They build around their defense. They don't invest in the offensive side of the ball. Fields had the fewest passing attempts of any starting quarterback through two games since 2010. You know who else did that year? Vince Young, 27. You have to find out what you have in him. You talk about Jalen Hurts not throwing the ball and wanting to see what you have in young quarterbacks who can run. You have to throw the ball. You're playing from behind, to Dave's point. Throw the ball. So what if he loses? You have to develop him, and you don't have strong pieces around him. Could Justin Fields be better? Could he be playing better? Sure.
A lot better.
Sure.
Shady.
But nope. If you got to make me pick between the Bears, who have done this year after year after year after year,
can
and
we name
and
a
Justin
good
Fields,
Bears quarterback?
I'm going to go with the Bears.
If I see you every day at practice, every day in the game, right, and I'm watching tape on you, and I don't want you to throw the ball in a real game, what does that tell you? We know something that they know something that we don't know.
That's my only.
Is that he cannot throw the ball.
That's my only thought is, do the Bears know something we don't know, or do the Bears not know anything?
Y'all generous with the Bears.
Yeah, coming up, it's time to take care of some family business. Boy, this is a tough show. This is a tough show. We got to take care of some bad family business. See where the show ranks on our week 2 voting standings. We voted on every NFL game. We got to see who's done it the best. That's next. Speak.
I thought we were winning. Am I winning yet?
No, I was up last week. Probably still up. Oh, now, look, y'all, we're at the big board to take care of some family business. We got to check out our standings after week 2 of the NFL season. Remember, we pick every single game. Let's check in on them. Okay, your boy's still in the lead.
Okay about
Joy. This. Okay, Joy made up some ground. Everybody else, Shady and Dave, are still tied.
I feel like, me and Shady are just making all the same picks.
I'm done with the Bengals.
Yes.
And then we need to have a real conversation about the AFC South.
I win at the
end. As in, who's ever going to win
worry
a game
about
there?
It.
Oh, we do this cult type every single year.
Is it weird if I feel okay about the Jags after 2 games? Not like as a contender. I'm just saying.
I like
the Cowboys, so nothing surprises me.
Shady,
it always comes back.
Can you get an answer to your question, please?
What's that?
The question you asked Dave and Joy.
About Josh Allen?
Yes.
Oh, Josh Allen, if he played for the Chiefs, would he do the same or no?
Yeah, I think Josh Allen would be great with the Chiefs. Yes, he would.
Super Bowl MVP and that type of stuff. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers if he played with the championship.
Josh Allen has the opportunity to win MVP this year. There's nothing but space.
What about championship?
Yeah, he's
Tyreek,
got that.
Travis, Andy Reid.
So here we go. Patrick Mahomes, if he went to the Bills, would not win a championship.
He wouldn't have won one yet.
No.
Defensive-minded head coach.
No, he won. No.
And had Stephon Diggs.
Oh, well, you know who else hasn't won a championship with the Bills? Josh Allen. Which we think will happen.
You keep saying about winning, though. So
no,
I'm wrong with the Chiefs.
Is Troy Aikman better than Dan Marino?
No.
He got way more championships.
You know what? Y'all like beauty pageants. Y'all like
who's a better player?
Y'all are the better players. Prisoners of the moment.
Big,
that's y'all.
Big participation
I'm not.
Trophy
Yo, Troy Aikman
right
or Dan Marino.
Yes.
Big
participation trophy, guys.
We'll figure this out tomorrow. We'll see you.
I'm going to get my question answered.
Show up and look.